Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American.
Today's date is Tuesday, June 25th.
You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Maria Madrid loves what she does. As head cook at Lamar Early Education Center, she and her team turn out about 400 meals a day for students. She enjoys seeing the smiles on their faces as they take their trays and eat. Recently, Madrid was recognized with the School Nutrition of the Year Award from Ector County ISD. The district delivered the surprise awards in May. The employees receive a large poster on display and an award and a cash gift from the Education Foundation of Odessa. 15 team members received the recognition this year. Madrid definitely believes in the school district's vision of students being the future. She also strongly believes in her faith and God. She attends Apostolic Faith Tabernacle. God is the source of my strength by giving me the physical and emotional support to have the energy needed throughout my work shift, Madrid said. She grew up on a ranch close to Oganaga, Chihuahua, in a farming family. She arrived in Odessa about 25 years ago and worked some years in a restaurant. One day, her nieces invited her to eat at their school. When she saw the children in line getting their lunches and happily eating, I knew that is what I wanted to do, work in a school cafeteria, Madrid said. She later applied and was hired. She worked at Blackshear Elementary School for 6 years and has been at Lamar for 11. I enjoy my job and I try to do the best I can, Madrid said. She added that it was a big surprise to receive the Employee of the Year award. They told me that morning they were going to have a meeting with the principal. When the time came, they left the cafeteria and saw Superintendent Scott Murray and his team and School Nutrition Director Jean Pondo and her team. They announced that the award was for her. She never imagined she would be acknowledged in this way. I feel honored and grateful for this recognition. I go to work without expecting any acknowledgement, but having it motivates me even more to continue, Madrid said. She added that she appreciates the incentive provided by the Education Foundation. Because of her parents, she learned to plant, work, and harvest. I look at the motto of ECISD and I identify with it, our students, the future, she said. Madrid said she is honored to achieve her personal goals and to feel like she is contributing something to the community, to this beautiful country that opened the door for me so I can have a better future. In school nutrition, there are sections where people are in charge of meat, vegetables, and fruit. Madrid says she makes the entrees. Originally from Oganaga, Mexico, Madrid has been with ECISD for 17 years. Before coming to Lamar, she was at Blackshear Elementary and they cooked 1,200 meals a day there because one kitchen covers Blackshear and Milam Elementary Schools and Carver Early Education Center. At Lamar, they served about 450 meals a day to that campus and the YMCA. Even though she cooks all day, she still likes to cook at home. Together, she and her husband, Paz Carrillo, have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. The youngest are twin girls, and they attended pre-kindergarten at Lamar last year. Monserrato Garza, administrative assistant at Carver, said she thinks Madrid winning the award is wonderful. I think they deserve all of everything that they can get because of all the hard work they do, Garza said. She said the school nutrition staff are everywhere, delivering breakfast up and down the hall. She's a very hard worker. You always see her going up and down the hall, Garza said. She's very caring and she always is saying hi to everybody, but you can see how she works, she added. Synergy offering more games. Synergy Cinemas and Entertainment announced Monday the grand opening of the Synergy Social Darts Lounge in Odessa on June 28th. They also revealed the addition of 11 new games to its state-of-the-art game floor, including Big Shot, Bigfoot Mayhem, Find a Key Deluxe, Goats and Ropes, Godzilla Kaiju Wars VR, and more. Our game floor features everything from the classics to the latest in cutting-edge action games, Todd Mounsell, Synergy's Vice President of Operations, said in a news release. We believe in constantly evolving our entertainment offerings to keep our guests excited and engaged, and these new additions are sure to provide hours of fun and an unforgettable time at Synergy. The Synergy Social Darts Lounge offers a guest a selection of interactive virtual games, providing a variety of thrilling games to compete in. Additionally, Odessa has recently introduced its 7D Thrill Ride, a rich multi-sensory interactive attraction featuring advanced technology and special effects. This ride supports group play, real-time 3D graphics, and an individual scoring system, creating a unique, fun, and competitive dynamic. The full list of new game floor additions include Big Shot, Bigfoot Mayhem, Find a Key Deluxe, Goats and Ropes, Godzilla Kaiju Wars VR, Skillfall Revolution, Sniper Strike 2, Spider-Man Coin Pusher, Ticket Ring, Ultimate Disc, and Pro Football Pro. Rodeo titles come through Pecos. The crowds that attend this community's annual rodeo pack themselves in over four nights each June. The same can be said for the cowboys and cowgirls who want to compete at this historic event. This year's West of the Pecos Rodeo features 500 contestants who have entered the rodeo for a chance at the big money available at the event. Set for 8 p.m. Wednesday, June 26th through Saturday, June 29th at Buck Jackson Arena in Pecos. It's going to be a who's who of pro rodeo, with 102 qualifiers to the National Finals Rodeo. The National Finals Breakaway Roping or the National Finals Steer Roping. Of those, there are 21 world champions representing 64 gold buckles. Why? Because the West of the Pecos Rodeo buckle is a trophy they all crave. While rodeo's gold is the most prestigious, there are some individual honors that carry high recognition, and winning the championship at the world's first rodeo is definitely one. Whether it's bareback riders Clayton Bigelow and Jess Pope, or steer ropers like Scott Snedecor, Cole Patterson, and J. Tom Fisher, the list of rodeo greats is long and powerful. The cowboys who are eager to compete inside the storied arena include tie-down ropers like Shad Mayfield and Marcus Costa, to team ropers like reigning titleist Tyler Wade and Wesley Thorpe. But it's the list of women who make up the most world champions. Haley Kinsel is a four-time barrel racing winner, and there is a host of breakaway ropers. Jackie Crawford, 23, J.J. Hampton, 17, and Kelsey Domer and Lori D. Guy, 9 each, who lead the charge. These are people that make their living swinging rope or riding bucking animals. There are no guarantees in rodeo. They have to beat most of the contestants in the field in their respective events to earn a paycheck, and they pay a fee in order to compete. Unlike other professional sports, there are no teams to pick up the tab on traveling expenses. Every penny counts, whether paying for fuel or buying a qualification to the national finals. In rodeo, dollars equal championship points. Only the top 15 on the money list in each event at the end of the regular season earn a spot in Pro Rodeo's finale, and only the top earners when 2024 comes to a close will be crowned world champions. Just 2 years ago, Pope utilized his victory in Pecos to not only advance to the NFR, but also walk away from Las Vegas with rodeo's gold. A year before that, Casey Field used it to catapult him to a record sixth bareback riding world title, and Patterson collected his first steer roping crown that year. The history of the West of the Pecos Rodeo is filled with greatness, and it continues this June. Waterline break fixed. A water line break in the 3700 block of North Texas Avenue has been repaired. As of 10:10 a.m. June 24th, a city news release said the line has been repaired and crews are now cleaning the area. Hotel occupancy tax, funds to be discussed at City Council. Hot funds are on the Odessa City Council's agenda for Tuesday night. 21 agencies have asked for a portion of the city's hotel occupancy tax funds this year, and another six are seeking general funds. This will be the first year the City Council will be making decisions as to which agencies should get the funding with the help of a committee who reviews each application to determine how many heads in beds they are responsible for. Last March, the council voted to stop funding downtown Odessa after city manager John Beckmeyer said the city has been illegally funding the organization by using hotel occupancy taxes. According to Beckmeyer, the city had been providing downtown Odessa $450,000 a year for the last 5 years. Even though the rules state hot funds can only be used for things that enhance tourism and the convention and hotel industry. While downtown Odessa draws tens of thousands of people through events like Firecracker Fandango and the Parade of Lights, those don't put heads in beds, he said. On Thursday, Beckmeyer said Scott Joslove, president and CEO of the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association, came in and did a training with the agencies. They went all through it and came in with good justifications of how they're putting heads in beds. We were able to go through and have a good feeling that we are in compliance with the rules around hot fund distributions, and I'm very excited about that, Beckmeyer said. The committee went through the applications and ranked them based on true quantitative measures instead of just a subjective measure. It really gives me a lot of confidence in our results, he said. It's exciting to me because we're doing it right. In the past, the decision-making has resulted in a marathon meeting, but he doesn't expect that Tuesday night, Beckmeyer said. During Tuesday's meeting, traffic operations supervisor Joseph Goff also plans to ask the council to just under $67,000 to purchase stencils that would be used to paint Odessa streets. According to materials provided to the council, the stencils will ensure that road markings are clear and precise and are crucial for maintaining orderly traffic flow and ensuring the safety of both drivers and pedestrians. The stencils would come from Giveco Markings, a Gainesville, Georgia company. In addition, the council will consider giving the Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest a 99-year lease on the building they're already renting at 5217 North Dixie Boulevard. Discuss selling the former fire station number 6 to Town and Country Drug for $270,000. The original agreement came for the company to pay $350,000, but issues with the building have since been discovered. Consider resurfacing the McKinney Playground, which isn't ADA compliant, for roughly $112,400. During the council's work session at 3 p.m., the council will discuss issuing requests for qualifications for the Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant. Discuss an $83,500 bid to remove asbestos and demolish the shredder building. discuss accepting a 3.85-acre park that's been developed by LECO Properties and the Odessa Parks Foundation in the Desert Ridge subdivision, and continue discussing term limits and prohibiting former mayors from becoming council members. OPD to host CRAZE training. The Odessa Police Department will host the next Neighborhood Watch meeting at 7 p.m. June 25th in the OPD classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue, a civilian response to an active shooter event. CRAZE training will be taught. CRAZE trainings are taught by OPD on a regular basis to businesses and churches seeking more knowledge about how to prepare for an active shooter situation. They also provide an assessment of where you stand in terms of preparation and what steps you can take to improve overall safety. We hope to see you there. Let us know if you're coming at https://www.facebook.com/share/nf5iexixbvzu875h/. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, Permian Basin, welcomes new class of medical professionals. Texas Tech University Health Sciences will host a new resident and fellow orientation at 2 p.m. June 25th at 800 West 4th Street, Odessa. A resource fair is also scheduled. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, Permian Basin, welcomes new class of medical professionals. Texas Tech University Health Sciences will host a new resident and fellow orientation at 2 p.m. June 25th at 800 West 4th Street, Odessa. A resource fair is also scheduled. IDEA Public Schools announces new executive director for Permian Basin Region. IDEA Public Schools, a leading public charter school network committed to preparing all students for success in college and beyond, is pleased to announce the appointment of Annette Macias as the executive director of IDEA Public Schools in the Permian Basin. In this role, Macias will oversee the day-to-day operations, academic achievement, and develop strategies to enhance the region beginning at the start of the 2024-25 school year. Born and raised in the Permian Basin, Macias is a distinguished educational leader holding a PhD in education leadership policy from Texas Tech University, a master's degree in special education, and a bachelor's degree in Spanish and multicultural studies from the University of Texas Permian Basin. She most recently served students in the largest urban school district in Texas, Houston ISD. In her 27-year career in education, Macias's experience spans in positions such as Executive Director for School Improvement, Director of Student Support, Principal and Bilingual Teacher. Dr. Macias is deeply dedicated to serving families and ensuring all children have an opportunity equal to obtain an excellent education. Jeff Cotrill, Superintendent and CEO of IDEA Public Schools, said in a news release, "Her leadership and commitment to excellence are clear in everything she has accomplished in her professional career, and I have no doubt that she will lead IDEA Permian Basin to great success." IDEA Public Schools launched in its Permian Basin region in 2020 and proudly serves students at its two campuses, IDEA Travis Academy and College Preparatory, and IDEA Yukon Academy and College Preparatory. In partnership with Midland Independent School District, IDEA Travis is currently open to students in Midland grades pre-K through 10. IDEA Yukon, located in Odessa, is open to grades kindergarten through 9th. Macias succeeds Bethany Solis as the executive director position. Solis will continue to serve IDEA Public Schools as its newest vice president of college completion. An Odessa man arrested. An Odessa man was arrested last week after a woman told police she woke up partially naked with him touching her. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the woman called police around 9 p.m. June 17th from a motel in the 2000 block of West 2nd Street. When officers arrived, she told him she began taking a nap around 4 p.m. and woke up at 8:45 p.m. to find her underwear missing and John Luis Furman Diaz touching her legs. The report stated she ordered him to leave, called police, and realized $20 was missing from her room. Furman Diaz told police the woman's door was wide open and he tried to wake her up after seeing she was naked from the waist down, the report stated. He said he returned the woman's dog to the room and shut the door. However, an officer wrote in the report that video surveillance showed the woman's door was only slightly ajar when Furman Diaz entered her room and he stayed 4 minutes before leaving. A witness told officers she saw the woman sleeping in her underwear and Furman Diaz entering the room, the report stated. Furman Diaz was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation with intention of committing another felony. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday night on a $25,000 surety bond. Police: parking dispute leads to knife throwing. According to the Odessa Police Department, a dispute over a parking space led to a knife being thrown and an arrest. On June 19th, a 40-year-old man called 911 around 2 p.m. and reported he was struck with what he thought was a sword and had a knife thrown at him outside the barbershop on North Dixie Boulevard. According to an OPD report, when officers arrived, the man said he had parked in front of the barbershop to have keys made next door. And when he came out to his vehicle, Bruce Conley, 62, confronted him. The man said Conley went into the barbershop, grabbed what he thought was a sword, and hit him in the neck with it, the report stated. He said Conley then went back inside, only to come out and start arguing with him again. Conley then threw a knife at him, and he called 911, the man told officers. Conley told officers he struck the man with a walking cane and he threw a knife near the door where the other man was standing, the report stated. Conley was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from the Ector County Jail June 20th after posting a $50,000 surety bond. Man accused of assaulting wife in front of daughter. A 42-year-old Odessa man was arrested last week after a 10-year-old girl told police she saw him push her mom against a wall, slap her, and put a gun to her face. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 800 block of Summer Avenue around 11 p.m. June 18th. When officers arrived, a 40-year-old woman told officers her former husband, Ramiro Brito Jr., accused her of cheating on him with his roommate and pushed her, pinned her against a wall, slapped her, and forced the barrel of his handgun into her face, the report stated. The woman said she was able to get away from Brito after calling for help from her 19-year-old son, the report stated. Police found her and her daughter in a vehicle across the street from the home when they arrived, and the girl corroborated her story. Brito wouldn't open the door for police, telling them nothing happened, and he never touched his former wife. He was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday night on a $50,000 surety bond.
Thanos signs major water management contract. Louisiana-based Thanos has secured a major production contract to oversee water management facilities in the Midland Basin. Under the contract with a pioneer in sustainable water management solutions, Thanos will oversee approximately 60 of the midstream company's facilities. Thanos will deploy a team of 21 production operators to support 12 lease areas on an ongoing basis. Thanos executives tell the Reporter-Telegram, there is the potential to grow and possibly double the team in the near future. The team will be responsible for treating the produced water and keeping it stored in facilities for several companies that were acquired by the customer. Water management is an area Thanos has served, but officials told the Reporter-Telegram, water management is expected to grow quickly. Quote, the companies that have the water do not have capacity to deal with it, so Thanos is able to offer services to manage the water assets, end quote, they told the Reporter-Telegram by email. The contract offers the opportunity for Thanos to get a foot in the door with other companies, the officials wrote. Oil report. Study. Pipeline constraints risk future production. Despite its long-held reputation as an oil play, the Permian Basin is becoming a major source of natural gas production. Enverus Intelligence Research, EIR, a subsidiary of energy-dedicated software as a service firm Enverus, decided to do a deep dive into the region's pipeline network. It was an effort Jason Feet, an advisor at EIR and report author, told the Reporter-Telegram was difficult because of limited public information required by state regulators. Still, analysts persevered as they dug into the interstate and intrastate pipelines that comprise the Permian Basin pipeline network. Quote, what's most valuable is understanding, first, why there are issues with takeaway, and second, what happens going forward with natural gas takeaway, end quote, Feet said. The Permian, as with all plays with associated gas, gets gassier as it ages, he said. But where the Permian Basin differs from other basins is that Permian Basin natural gas is consumed within the state. It doesn't cross state lines and therefore is overseen by state regulators, the Railroad Commission, rather than the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Feet estimated 80% of Texas pipelines are intrastate, while the remainder are interstate pipelines, largely legacy pipelines headed to California or the Midwest. Quote, the benefit of being state-regulated is projects can move faster and are more economic, end quote, Feet said. In Texas, he said, a new pipeline project can be brought online in just a couple of years. A key takeaway from the report highlights that pipelines moving natural gas out of the Permian are at capacity, and that has had an impact on gas prices at the Waha hub in Reeves County. Feet noted that volatile Waha gas prices have the potential to spend more time below zero due to takeaway constraints. Pipelines are expected to remain at capacity until later this year, when the Matterhorn Express pipeline enters service. Feet noted that it is a large pipeline with a capacity of over 2 billion cubic feet per day. A second pipeline that has been proposed, the De La Express, would take natural gas from the Permian Basin to the Gulf Coast. Feet said this project differs in that it is an interstate pipeline overseen by FERC because it would carry some natural gas into Louisiana. It is also a wet gas pipeline, carrying natural gas and natural gas liquids. Feet pointed out that takeaway capacity in the Permian Basin remains tight. Whenever constraints are resolved, such as with the addition of the Matterhorn, constraints reappear after a couple of years. Quote, in our forecast, we see continued growth in natural gas production, and our forecast is that is for there to be again constraints in 2026, end quote, Feet said. He estimates close to a quarter of EIR's forecast of total Permian gas production for 2030 is at risk due to lack of existing and approved infrastructure to transport gas to consuming markets. Quote, another key takeaway is how long it takes for a pipeline project. There are four proposals for greenfield pipeline projects, and none have reached a final investment decision yet, end quote, he said. Quote, for a two-year timeline to get a pipeline into service, decisions need to be made very soon, within the next few months, end quote. T. TXOGA, Texas Energy continues its record-setting run. Texas Energy continued on its record-setting run, according to the Texas Oil and Gas Association. TXOGA estimates the Lone Star State produced a record 5.7 million barrels of crude in May, plus 32.5 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas, marketed production, and 3.5 million barrels per day of natural gas liquids. Quote, Texas's record-setting performance has continued so far this year on the heels of remarkable productivity gains, where, for example, rig productivity in May rose by more than 20% year-over-year by EIA estimates, end quote, said TXOGA's chief economist, Dean Foreman, in announcing the data. Quote, as a result, Texas has continued to gain market share amid U.S. oil and natural gas production through the first half of 2024. U.S. energy security increasingly depends on Texas, and Texas has stepped up like none other, end quote. Foreman estimated Texas produced 42.9% of U.S. crude oil and 28.3% of U.S. natural gas marketed production in the first half of 2024. Foreman projects that Texas' record-setting run will continue into June. His forecast is for Texas to produce 5.7 million barrels a day of crude oil, 3.6 million barrels a day of NGLs, and 32.4 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas marketed production. TXOGA also cited data from the Energy Information Administration for monthly records established by Texas in March. Crude oil production, 5.6 million barrels per day. Texas produced 28.2 BCF/D of dry natural gas in March 2024 by TXOGA's estimates. Natural gas gross withdrawals, 34.6 billion cubic feet per day. Record high NGL field production, 3.7 million barrels per day. Record high refinery activities, including net production of 5.5 million barrels per day. After Texas petroleum products exports exceeded 4 million barrels per day for the first time in December 2023, Texas has sustained its petroleum products exports above that level for five straight months. Texas also exported nearly $57 billion of petroleum products in the first quarter of 2024. Texas exported a total of $56.8 billion in energy products during the first quarter of 2024. TXOGA also found that the state's natural gas production was more than double in-state consumption in March. Texas consumers used 12.5 BCF per day, mainly for industry and electricity generation. Approximately 10.8 BCF per day was exported, including 7.1 BCF per day in the form of liquefied natural gas and 3.7 BCF per day via pipeline to Mexico, according to International Trade Commission data. Quote, these new records are a testament to Texas' role as a national and global energy leader, end quote, said TXOGA President Todd Staples. Quote, amidst growing global instability and energy demand that is expected to nearly double by 2050, oil and natural gas continue to serve as the bedrock of our energy mix, providing affordable, reliant energy to meet our state, nation, and the world's needs, end quote. Piñon Midstream receives approval of monitoring plan. Piñon Midstream's Dark Horse Treating Facility in Lee County, New Mexico, continues to receive government approval for expansion. Piñon recently commissioned its third train and received a new source review air permit from the New Mexico Environmental Department. Now the company has received approval from the Environmental Protection Agency for its monitoring, reporting and verification plan for the permanent storage of carbon dioxide in its two acid gas injection wells at the Dark Horse facility. Both of Piñon's AGI wells, the Independence AGI No. 1 and Independence AGI No. 2, are Devonian wells reaching depths of approximately 18,000 feet or 3.4 miles below the surface into rock formations located several thousand feet below water aquifers and existing Delaware Basin oil and natural gas producing formations. The two AGI wells are permitted for a combined 20 million cubic feet per day of CO2 and hydrogen sulfide, H2S, injection, which equates to about 250,000 metric tons of CO2 and about 110,000 metric tons of H2S annually based on current gas compositions. These two wells provide sequestration redundancy for Delaware Basin operators who use Pinon's scalable and centralized treatment and sequestration facility to mitigate flaring and unlock valuable drilling inventory in the area. Pinon's approved MVR plan, which became effective June 15th, provides a full description of technical procedures for sequestration, monitoring, and verification that have been put in place at the Dark Horse Treating Facility to ensure permanent sequestration. The approved MVR plan also satisfies a major requirement for Pinon's eligibility to receive 45Q and enhanced tax credits in accordance with the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The tax credits for permanent sequestration are now $85 per ton under the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Quote, Pinon was founded to create sustainable and scalable sour gas infrastructure solutions, end quote, said Pinon's Chief Executive Officer Stephen Green in announcing the MVR approval. Quote, having now received both the MVR plan approval from the EPA and an NSR air permit from the state of New Mexico, and with our most recent capacity expansions up and running, we believe that we are in position to become the Delaware Basin's leading sour gas treating and carbon management provider, end quote, Green said. From inception in August 2021 through 2023, Pinon has reduced the environmental impact of oil and natural gas production through the capture and permanent geologic sequestration of about 160,000 metric tons of CO2 and about 65,000 metric tons of H2, which is the annual emissions equivalent of approximately 35,000 vehicles or 21,000 households. At its current operational rate, Pinon's Dark Horse treating facility is projected to capture and sequester more than 190,000 metric tons of CO2 and 90,000 metric tons of H2S over the next 12 months. Exxon Qatar aim to rehire laid-off Golden Pass workers. A massive gas liquefaction plant under construction in East Texas hummed with the activities of more than 6,000 workers last month before a dispute between the Golden Pass project and lead contractor Zachry Industrial prompted thousands of layoffs. The Sabine Pass site is now, quote, eerily vacant, end quote, according to an emergency motion filed Tuesday by Golden Pass as part of Zachry's bankruptcy proceedings. Golden Pass has asked the court to force Zachry out of its engineering and construction contract, under which Zachry agreed to build the plant for a fixed $9.25 billion in 2019. The Golden Pass LNG project, owned by ExxonMobil and Qatar Petroleum, said Tuesday that it aims to return workers to the site and move forward with construction. To do so, it said it needs the court to move Zachry aside so that the functions of a lead engineering, procurement, and construction firm can be performed by someone else. Quote, Zachry refuses to work and refuses to get out of the way so everyone else can, end quote, attorneys for Golden Pass wrote in the Tuesday filing. San Antonio-based Zachry has said it was forced to file for bankruptcy protection and lay off thousands of workers after it absorbed, quote, staggering costs, end quote, at Golden Pass related to supply chain challenges that have spiraled since the start of the pandemic. The Golden Pass partners countered that they had given Zachry additional funds to complete the project on several occasions, despite the fixed price contract. According to the Tuesday filing, Golden Pass paid Zachry an additional $1.2 billion, another $200 million tied to construction milestones, and advanced more than $270 million for work not yet performed. Golden Pass said it also paid vendors more than $93 million. The number of construction workers at the site fell to only 140 from more than 6,000 after Zachry filed for bankruptcy protection. The Golden Pass filing stated, the sudden layoffs left equipment and components of the facility vulnerable to the elements, it said in the filing. Large elevated piping was only partially welded, quote, creating an unsafe situation, end quote. Open areas left, quote, sensitive instrumentation, end quote, exposed. Zachry abandoned work on a, quote, critical levee, end quote, as hurricane season loomed, it said. Golden Pass said Zachary's contractual breaches amounted to $2 billion in damages. It plans to recover them. Quote, time is of the essence here. With every passing day, the damage being caused by Zachary to itself and everyone else only proliferates and becomes more difficult to remedy, end quote, the filing states. Zachary said Wednesday in a statement that it hasn't walked away from a project in its 100-year history and has no plan to do so at Golden Pass. Quote, we have always intended to finish the Golden Pass project, and in doing so, we expected to receive fair and appropriate compensation in light of unforeseen global events, end quote, it said. Yet, quote, Golden Pass and its shareholders have failed to act in good faith or follow through on their commitments to adequately fund the project, end quote. Exxon owns 30% of Golden Pass, which is roughly 75% complete. Qatar owns the remaining 70%. State power grid risk is about the same. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the state's grid operator, is bracing for another hot summer. At their bi-monthly meeting on Tuesday, ERCOT board members were told there was a good chance this summer will rank among the 10 hottest summers dating back to 1895. Four of those 10 have come in the last 6 years, a trend scientists warn could continue as climate change causes more frequent and severe heat waves. Staff told the board there was a 25% chance this summer's heat will approach or exceed that of summer 2023, Texas' second hottest on record. Extended extreme heat last year pushed ERCOT to ask Texans to conserve electricity nearly a dozen times as the grid strained to keep up with record-shattering power demand. ERCOT acts like an air traffic controller for the network of power plants and power lines across the state by coordinating the flow of electricity to ensure supply matches demand. Extreme heat challenges the grid operator because transmission lines and power plants are less efficient under high temperatures, reducing electricity supply even as consumers across the state crank up air conditioning, driving up demand. New power generation resources have been added since last summer, including more than 6,300 megawatts of solar, 2,840 megawatts of battery storage, 1,520 megawatts of wind, and 146 megawatts of natural gas, ERCOT CEO Pablo Vasquez told the board. 1 megawatt can power about 250 Texas homes during the hottest summer days, according to ERCOT. The ERCOT system is fed by about 161,000 megawatts of installed capacity in all, with about 88,000 of those megawatts expected to be available during the tightest summer hours on the grid. Quote, because of the additional solar and storage resources and the forecasted summer weather conditions, the risk profile for the grid this summer compared to the last summer is about the same to slightly improved, end quote, Vegas said. Until a few years ago, the highest risk time for ERCOT-related outages coincided with times of peak demand on the grid, usually early afternoon when temperatures were hottest. That's changed with the exponential growth of solar power, which helped provide healthy cushion of supply last summer as the Texas grid set 10 records for power demand. The influx of solar, however, comes with a new challenge. The power grid is now most strained around the sunset hours when solar power declines, high temperatures remain, and wind power has not fully ramped up. Earlier this month, ERCOT released projections that show a 12% chance of rotating outages from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. in August when wind power production is low. The grid operator expects to handle June and July with little issue. Two other factors are typically present when there is risk of outages: extreme heat and a high level of fossil fuel power plants offline for maintenance. Dan Woodfin, ERCOT's vice president of system operations, told the board. Asked what keeps him up at night about the summer, Woodfin said he is concerned about ERCOT's lack of visibility into how so-called large flexible loads, such as cryptocurrency miners, curtail their power usage when electricity prices are high and the grid is most stressed, known as demand response. ERCOT has previously said these users exhibit inconsistent behavior when electricity supply is tight, such as during January's cold snap. Quote, some days that's a little nerve-wracking. Are you going to get that demand response on a particular day? Because if you get it, you've got enough, end quote, Woodfin said. quote, that's the thing that's the most concerning or worrying, end quote. Adding to risk this summer is a problematic segment of transmission lines in the San Antonio area, which sometimes lack the capacity to move abundant power north from South Texas and vice versa, Woodfin said. These lines were a major contributor last September to ERCOT declaring its first grid emergency since the 2021 freeze. Life Tributes. Richard Jackson, 3/5/1938 to 6/2/2024. Richard Ford Jackson, known to his friends and family as Dick, was reunited with his wife, Anne, and entered the presence of the Lord at the age of 86 on Sunday, June 2, 2024, passing away at his home in Midland, Texas, following a mercifully brief struggle with cancer. Richard was born in Bexar County, San Antonio, Texas, on March 5, 1938, to parents Looney Hythe Jackson and Mercedes Thelma Jackson. Richard is survived by two sons, Richard Russell Jackson and his wife Elaine, and Gregory Elliott Jackson and his wife Stacy, daughter Charla K. Jackson, grandchildren Dustin Gregory Jackson, Danielle Ray Gilbert and her husband Seth, and Steele Chance Choate, and four great-grandchildren, Adeline Winston Anderson and Lawson. Richard is also survived by his brother Vernon and his wife Barbara. Richard was preceded in death by his parents Looney and Mercedes and wife Anne. His memorial service will be held at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland on Friday, July 5th, 2024 at 11 o'clock a.m. In lieu of flowers, please send any memorial donations to the American Cancer Society, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, or Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Daniel Ray Parkhurst, 12/16/1937 to 6/20/2024. Daniel Ray Parkhurst, born December 16, 1937, in Bristow, Oklahoma, passed away on June 20, 2024, in Midland, Texas. Daniel Ray Parkhurst is preceded in death by his parents, Jesse and Pearl Parkhurst, his eldest son, Daniel Thomas Parkhurst, and his siblings, Jimmy, Lorene, Darlene, Mark, and Joyce. He leaves behind a legacy cherished by all who knew and loved him. Memorial service will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, June 26, 2024, at First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. The burial will take place at Bristow City Cemetery in Bristow, Oklahoma. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Peggy Killian Whitley, 7/6/1953 to 6/14/2024. Peggy Nanny Nettie NTG was a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, a loving mother, a devoted grandmother and great-grandmother, a caring sister, and a sweeter friend. She loved her whole family with all of her heart. Peggy went to be with Jesus on Friday, June 14, 2024, surrounded by her children in the comfort of her home. After a long battle with cancer, she is healed and walking with Jesus. She won the battle. Peggy was born in Warden, Texas on July 6, 1953. Peggy is preceded in death by her father, Henry Walton Killian, her mother, Constance Hope Killian, her sister, Virginia Ann Chandler. We know there was a great reunion in heaven. She is survived by her children, Connie Claybrook Wade of Midland, Katie Slusher Jim of Houston, and David Meek Maribel of Midland. Her grandchildren, Zachary, Brooke, Callie Ann, Michael, Cameron, Kobe, Tyler, Riley, Liberty, Jasmine, David, and Emma. Her great-grandchildren, Crew, Houston, and Dylan. Brothers Mark Killian, Karen, Steve Killian, Peggy, and sister Cheryl Ritchie. Many nieces and nephews, cousins, and friends. A memorial service will be held Saturday, June 29, 2024 at 11 o'clock a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street, with Pastor Jeff Franklin officiating. In lieu of flowers, donations to your local church may be made or to Samaritan's Purse. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Clifton Yoakum, 12/20/1949 to 6/9/2024. Clifton C. Yoakum, most recently of Talkeetna, Alaska, passed away at home Sunday, June 9, 2024. Clifton was born in the year of 1949 in Seminole, Texas, to James and Jenny Yoakum. Both parents preceded him in death along with his younger sister, Judy. Clifton is survived by Diane, his wife of 33 years, four sons, Casey Yoakum, wife Nicole, in Alabama, Tony Dodd, wife Jennifer, in Texas, Thomas Yoakum in Texas, and Robert Yoakum in Oklahoma. Two sisters in Texas, Jeannie Creech, husband Reverend Ted Creech, and Janice Yoakum. Two brothers in Texas, David Yoakum, wife Frances, and Terry Yoakum, wife Teresa. Two grandchildren, Miles Dodd, wife Rebecca, and Eric Dodd, as well as numerous nephews, nieces, grandnephews, and grandnieces. Clifton had the good fortune of being visited by many of his family in the month of May during his brief illness. Cremains will be a later private service. He leaves a cavernous hole in many hearts, so many that love him. Tony Sanchez, 11/25/1955 to 6/13/2024. Tony Lee Sanchez, 68 years of age, from Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, June 13, 2024. A visitation will be held from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 6 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, June 25, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Memorial service will follow the visitation at 7 o'clock p.m., Tuesday, June 25, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Tony Lee Sanchez was born on November 25, 1955, in El Paso, Texas. Tony Lee Sanchez is survived by son Anthony T.J. Sanchez and Nicole Sanchez of Midland, Texas, son Michael Easy Sanchez and Lydia Sanchez of Tyler, Texas, daughter Paula Sanchez Garza and Mark Garza of Midland, Texas. 10 grandchildren, Mark, Nick, Steve, and Caitlin Sanchez, Blaze and Easton Sanchez, Mark Jr., Michael, Alex, and Porcelain Garza, two sisters-in-law, Mary Salinas and Elizabeth Lara, and mother-in-law, Catalina Ontiveros. He is preceded in death by wife Maria Lulu Sanchez, parents Melvin and Nettie Lofton, brothers Mario and Roy Sanchez, and sister-in-law Sandra Villarreal. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Oscar Rich, 11/17/1952 to 6/14/2024. It is with heavy hearts that we announce the passing of our loved one, Robert O. Rich, 71, passed away peacefully on June 14, 2024, at home with his family. He was born November 17, 1952, in Colorado City, Texas, to Truman Rich and Alma Henson. He is survived by his loving wife, Debbie Rich, two children, Jennifer, Randy, West, and Robert, Tammy, Rich, grandchildren, Mitchell, April, West, Robert, McClure, Erica, Matt, Zartman, Diana, Pennywitt, Taylor, Rich, and Savannah Murray. Great-grandchildren, Aubrey McClure, Natalie McClure, Navalee Zartman, Jackson Pennywitt, Emily Zartman, Bryson Pennywitt, Asalie Zartman, Autumn McClure, and Allie Bowman. Brother David Joe Rich, sisters Bonnie Norman Niedecken, Donnie Watkins, and many nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, Truman Rich and Alma Hansen, brother-in-law Travis Watkins, and nephew John Watkins. A memorial will take place Thursday, June 20th, 2024, at Advantage Funeral and Cremation Services, 1327 Ashland Road, Mansfield, Ohio. Reverend Reggie Curtin will be officiating. Advantage Funeral and Cremation Services by Wapner is honored to serve the Rich family. Caroline Miller. Caroline Ann Miller, mother of Carrie Lynn Gonzalez and Sherry Ray Young, passed away on June 16, 2024, after a long battle with Alzheimer's and most currently a severe stroke. Funeral services will be held Monday, June 24, 2024 at 10 o'clock a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Community. ECHS grad's family had to escape war. From Myanmar to attending the University of Texas in Austin, Meng is an inspiration. About 15 years ago, Biak Tin Meng and his parents emigrated to the United States from Myanmar, formerly Burma. They first arrived in Fort Worth and then shortly thereafter moved to Midland. The family only spoke Santang, a dialect of Burmese, and Meng's parents had no formal education. Meng did not learn English until he started kindergarten in Midland. Last month, Meng gave the invocation at Midland College's commencement ceremony and the salutatorian speech at the graduation ceremony for Early College High School at Midland College, ECHS at MC. In August, he will begin working toward a mechanical engineering degree at the University of Texas at Austin. Quote, at ECHS at MC, I was able to become a person who strives to be the best at everything I do, end quote, Meng said. Quote, the rigorous coursework made me adapt to high standards that were expected by the high school teachers and Midland College professors, end quote. Quote, like all ECHS at MC students, Meng's high school education consisted of an accelerated high school curriculum during the 9th and 10th grades, and then Midland College coursework during the 11th and 12th grades. On May 10th, Meng graduated from Midland College with an Associate of Science degree. Midland College professors took notice of his determination and ambition. Quote, Mr. Meng spoke no English when he entered public school, end quote, John Anderson, Midland College chemistry professor, said. Quote, today he speaks flawless English as if he was native born. This shows his ability to take on new challenges and handle adversity with ease. He will easily adapt to life at the University of Texas and hold his own in the engineering program there. In addition, he has an outgoing personality and is well-liked, respected, and regarded as a leader by his fellow students, end quote. During the time he attended ECHS at MC, Meng conducted mathematical research under the mentorship of Midland College math professor Jamie Neasley. He also participated in the Higher Orbits Go for Launch summer program. The multi-day camp uses space exploration as a platform to launch student involvement in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, as well as teamwork, communication, and leadership. Quote, my team, the Chaparral Champions at the Go for Launch program, received guidance from Mike Foreman, a former astronaut, to make a silkworm experimental design for space, end quote, Meng explained. Quote, we were awarded the Experimental Design Award. Since that time, we have continued to work on the project, including revising the design, writing a synopsis, and answering questions given by the judges, end quote. Last month, Go for Launch announced that the Chaparral Champions experiment won the second series of the contest and that the project will be launched to the International Space Station on one of the cargo flights. Once it is installed, the team will get 30 days of data while their experiment is in space. Meng said both the Midland College research and the Go for Launch program impacted his desire to major in mechanical engineering. He credits his parents with giving him the desire to learn and work hard. Quote, while we were in Myanmar, my father had to work away from home for long months at a time in order to earn enough money for us to come to the U.S., end quote, Meng recalled. Quote, when we got to the United States, my parents cleaned houses to earn a living. Then my mother had a sushi business, but she had to close it during the pandemic. Now my mother works at Walmart on Midland Drive. My father has not been able to work for a year because of injuries he sustained in 2023, end quote. The Myanmar Civil War, also called the Burmese Spring Revolution, Burmese Civil War, or People's Defensive War, is an ongoing civil war following Myanmar's long-running insurgencies, which is why Meng and his family emigrated to the United States. The political upheaval that began in the 1980s escalated significantly in 2021 in response to a military coup d'etat and the subsequent violent crackdown on anti-coup protests. Meng said that he looks forward to the day when the country is stable. He would like to visit his grandparents who are still living there and whom he hasn't seen since his family left the country. Quote, Biak's journey from being a first-generation student from Myanmar to his ambitious career aspirations in mechanical engineering showcases his resilience, determination, and unwavering commitment to his education and family, end quote, Kneasley said. Quote, despite facing significant challenges, including his family's financial struggles exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic and his father's injuries, Biak has persevered with remarkable strength and determination. Biak earned honors credit in trigonometry by participating in a research project exploring the process of mathematical modeling and solving problems with limited information. His commitment to academic excellence and his ability to apply mathematical principles to real-world problems were truly impressive, end quote. In addition to being a Midland College honors student, Meng was also a member of the ECHS at MC National Honor Society and a member of the Midland College Chemistry Club. In his spare time, he enjoys exercising and plays the bass guitar for Midland Santhang Christian Church. He said that he chose to continue his college education at UT Austin because of the opportunity for competitive research and study abroad.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.